The Bengals Beat podcast is proudly sponsored by 50 West Brewing Company. Now is the time to head out to the production works. It's where we've held our live BBPs. It's home to the incomparable madness that is the 50 West Punch-Out. The place is buzzing every night with sand volleyball leagues, canoeing, kayaking, cycling, trivia, running groups. It's all based out of the Pro Works down on Wooster Pike. You may even spot Optimistic Bobby preaching the Laser Cats gospel. Hope to see you soon at 50 West, where every beer is a journey. Come join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat podcast, sponsored by 50 West Brewing Company. Every week, your Cincinnati.com beat writers Paul Danner Jr. and Jim Ozarski take you inside the walls of Paul Brown Stadium. We're plugged into the club from the front office to the field. Win or lose, hiring or firing, we're always here to keep you in the loop. Let's go. All right, welcome into the latest edition of the BBP. This is the BBP 2, the Deuce. Bengals Beat Podcast, presented as always by 50 West Brewing Company. I'm your Bengals Beat writer, Paul Danner Jr., and I'm excited to say, for the first time in a long time, I am joined by my partner on the beat. My new guy, Fletcher Page, is here with me. I'm so excited to have you. And the world gets to meet you now. Finally, you've just been like a figment of everyone's imagination for a while. Of this person in space exists. The theory of this position exists, but now you're a real life human. I see you right here as a Bengals beat writer with me. God bless you.
Yeah, we got to change the intro and get some new graphics and get Jim's.
We do.
Jim's name's got to, we got to erase Jim from.
No, you have to live in his shadow.
I know, forever.
We're going to continue to call you Jim. Maybe we'll just call you new Jim.
It's not just Jim. Kareem, you know, came on and he's been dominating.
He's
like a super sub.
He is. Like, I mean, I was not joking in the OG BBP earlier this week. I mean, he's like the Giovanni Bernard of the Inquirer. He does it all. Like, you think, okay, he's just your third down back that you throw to. He's a photographer. He does visuals. No, he's like in front of the camera. He's running between the tackles on the BBP. He's on the wall. He does it all. We will create some more space for Kareem. He needs to be heard, and he sounds like Ray Romano.
He does. That's right.
He really does.
Yeah.
So that's let's. I want to, before there is some news to get to for those folks that are thirsting, we are going to meet you and talk about your background and let you tell jokes here for momentarily. But I want to start off with a little bit of news because a lot has been happening. We had maybe the newsiest Wednesday open locker room that I can remember. In a long time on Wednesday. So I just want to do a hitting of the highlights real quick. So Joe Mixon spoke, and he had surgery on Saturday, which we knew. The timeline is currently in the 2 to 4 weeks area. He claimed, his return is on me. It's really not. It's totally going to be on the coaches. However, there's a lot of optimism about where he's at being ahead of schedule. He's already walking around. They're not letting him run, but he says he feels like he can. So we'll be monitoring his progress as far as, you know, where he's at coming back. But he seems pretty happy with the way everything went. It was his first surgery ever, first real injury ever. So he kind of talked about that. Then Billy Price comes strolling through the locker room, and he's got this – bionic leg thing attached. It's a boot, but it has this SAM device that was beeping and like breathing and doing electronic stimulation to. He's not allowed to do anything. He said, I can't talk about a timeline. You have to talk to the doctors about that. And then he told us they'll reevaluate it in 2 weeks, but he's got to stay in the boot for 2 weeks. So we got a little bit of a timeline out of him. So we know that. So Billy Price, couple weeks more of Trey Hopkins as the starter. Then all of a sudden, the Bengals announced they have a move, and then while we're doing all of this, and Trey Carson, who is supposed to come in and really have his big moment, Bengals kept him for 3 years on the roster in hopes that because they believed he was developing into a guy that could really be something. He hurt his hamstring to the point they waived him injured and they that happened in practice on Monday. And they said, oh, yeah, and that guy over there is Thomas Rawls. You may remember him running for like 100 and, I believe, 68 yards or something here in 2015. He's now on the team. So all of this sort of happens, right? So that's where we're at. The big issue that this team has now that everyone wants to know about, so I want to get this out of the way, what's going to happen with the running backs, right? I mean, it's a weird rotation. So Joe Mixon is out. Trey Carson is out. Mark Walton, who had 22 rushes for 21 yards in the preseason, is now going to basically be sharing the load with Giovanni Bernard. Thomas Rawls, they feel like his terminology is similar to what he did in Seattle, that he can come in and be the big body back. Because Gio and Mark Walton are kind of the same size as each other. But Thomas Rawls is your – if they need goal line, if they need just something that calls for a big – they can have 5 to 10 plays that he can know and go in there and run them if they need it. But for the most part, it's going to be Walton and Gio, and mostly Gio would be my guest.
Yeah.
How do we feel about the news?
I watched
you.
All that.
From
my couch, I watched it all play out on Twitter.
Picked the right day to come the next day.
The next day for my first day. It's been really relaxed for me so far around here compared to that.
Yeah, just really enjoying things. It was funny. You show up Thursday and it's like, okay, so some stuff happened. But that's what happens when you show up mid-season. It's like stuff is flying around.
Right. Well, I do feel like, you know, I don't want to be Captain Obvious here, but it's a little bit positive in terms of, like, you know, Gio slides in. And I feel like he can handle whatever's going to be thrown at him in terms of increased workload.
For sure.
For a couple weeks, no problem. And I thought Trey Hopkins did a good job of holding his own.
Yeah, he did.
In the Baltimore game. So.
Where, I mean, they spent a first-round pick in that position because they've seen the way it can tank seasons with Russell Bodine here. And for Trey to come in for the first time he's ever really played center in a regular season game and to do that against Brandon Williams and Michael Pierce, I mean, some just massive dudes in the middle, I think was encouraging. So, Billy Price, not season-ending, he did say that.
Right.
Not Liz Frank, which are really, he came away and said it was great news because there were concerns. It took them a long time to figure out what the hell it even was. He said it was like 4 or 5 days of them thinking it was an ankle, then maybe it's a foot, but what is it in the foot? And they felt like Wednesday morning they finally were able to officially pinpoint it and say, it's not your ankle. It's not Liz Frank. It's this in the boot. 2 weeks we'll reevaluate after that, not season ending. So that's big. It's big to know that he will be back at some point. Now, when that is, I think we're getting an extended look at Trey Hopkins, to be sure. All right. That's kind of the news. We'll get more to Carolina. We're going to do predictions and talk a little bit about all that in a little bit. But first, welcome.
It's good to be here.
Who are you? tell the people who you are. I know who you are. Tell the people who you are. Who are you?
That's a pretty deep question.
Yeah.
I can tell you what I've been doing.
Existentially.
Yes. I come here from Lexington, Kentucky.
Right.
I worked 2 years at the Louisville Courier-Journal. That's Louisville, right?
Yes. So you proper pronunciation.
You don't want to be saying Louisville.
No, don't.
Covered UK basketball for 2 seasons. 75 straight basketball games. Didn't miss a one.
Nope.
I'm a gamer.
They won a lot of those.
Not in March. late March. Not in late March.
Not to the expectation level of BBN.
Right. But it was fun to get that experience to see. It really is a juggernaut. I mean, it's crazy. And John Calipari for a season, I found him very interesting as a human and as a genius basketball recruiter and coach. So it was fun to cover that. He wears on you, that guy, though.
Yeah. Well, it's what people don't, you know, maybe don't realize is that John Calipari is his own media network.
Yes.
So to cover that, it's almost impossible. You're covering essentially another. It would be like us covering a local TV station.
Right.
Because they have the ability to say everything first themselves.
Yep. Well, he had CoachCal.com, then he had his own podcast, and the podcast was good. I mean, he was a little mouthy.
He'd have guests on it, though.
He had Coach K, and he had Rick Pitino on it one time, which was awesome.
Wow. And in the middle of everything?
It was after the one thing, but before the other thing.
so many things.
But I'll say he was no Paul Daner.
What?
In terms of a host.
Oh, okay. Oh, so he was
a little chatty. He kind of talked over people.
I've been called a little chatty.
Well, a little bit, but he talked over people.
Oh.
He would ask a question and then sort of answer the question to preface the question.
I just haven't talked over you yet, so you don't think that I do that. But
well, I was going to do a montage of John Calipari reading Blue Apron spots.
Dude, we had Blue Apron.
Yeah,
and really appreciate it. Had Blue Apron, and God bless them. Yeah. And they gave me free food, and I appreciated that, and it was delicious. But those reads, let's just say the loyal BBP listener right now is laughing, thinking about us doing, trying to come up with segues for Blue Apron and ZipRecruiter in particular. Yeah. ZipRecruiter in particular, we always were just talking about someone who was about to get fired probably, and how you need to like scan resumes or something. Yeah. It's a tough regular segue to make. So I feel for him on that. But what people don't know is you are a perfect connection to this beat because you're a University of Georgia guy, and they're all over the place.
That's right. Yeah. So I went to the University of Georgia, covered the team for a little bit. Right out of college, I did recruiting and UGA stuff for 2 years. Moved to Illinois for 2 years.
Yeah.
It's kind of like moving to Siberia.
Yeah.
I got to document the Tim Beckman era.
Man, which went so well.
Well, it did produce a Bengal safety.
Yeah, Clayton Fedulum.
So, yeah, I mean, they used to try to convince – their staff used to try to convince me all the time. They'd be like, look, we got this 2-star guy. Nobody's ever heard of him, but trust me, he's an NFL guy. And I'd be like, okay, this again. They told me one time that we found this kid, an NAIA kid. Nobody's ever heard of him. He's going to be an NFL guy. And I was like, all right, I bet.
And he's turned into quite an NFL guy, actually. One of my favorite people on this team. He's hysterical. Which, if you listened last week, we had his interview from – oh, no, we didn't have BB2 last week. The BTS from last week with Clayton Fedulum, I highly recommend you go on Cincinnati.com and watch that. He's
you Cincinnati hysterical. People and your acronyms. Or your
No, it's a me thing. I have acronymed everything I possibly can.
Yeah.
I don't like – first of all, my wife is a prosecutor, and they live in the world of acronyms.
Okay.
I don't know – she just says an acronym, and I just let it go and assume that it means something important. But it's gotten me in the habit of realizing it's so much better than saying a thing than you just say something and you look smart like you know something that somebody else doesn't.
Right. Well, I'm with PDJ.
With PDJ.
At the PBS.
At the PBS.
Yeah.
On the BBP, too, not the OG BBP. there's plenty more of those to come. So
yeah.
You'll learn them all very soon. So after you documented all those great games at Illinois, including the Munchie Legault injury game.
That's right, I was there for that.
Because we met each other at Georgia when I was working for the Albany Herald, another proper pronunciation, covering UGA, and you were at the Red and Black at that point.
Yeah, a student newspaper, and then
or the Orange and Blue, as a couple players like to call it there.
Geno Atkins among them. I was going to say so for the people. I've gotten a lot of tweets about ask Geno questions.
Right.
Geno blew me off at Pro Day in 2010. He didn't want to speak.
You and Jim are already kindred spirits in this way.
It's been going on for a long time.
Yeah.
It predated Geno's professional career. So I think that he just never really wanted to participate. It wasn't that he was rude about it. He just didn't want to do it.
Yes.
Is that how it is still?
Well, he definitely doesn't want to do it.
Right.
I can tell you that much. No, you're exactly right in that. But yeah, so that's how, so we've kind of known each other for a long time and kept in touch where you went to Illinois and then you went back to Athens.
Yeah, I was a sports editor at the Banner Herald and columnist.
Yeah. Then how long were you – you were there for – how many years were you at the Banner Herald?
2 years. I'm on a 2-year path now. So I have 2 years at Scout.com.
Do I already need
Georgia.
To be looking for your replacement?
No. Like, I'm looking for a home.
Yeah.
2 years in Illinois, 2 years back in Athens, 2 years at the Courier-Journal. So.
Okay. And then and there, UK, and you came up and wrote the Big John Brown piece earlier this year, which I don't know for hopeful people read that.
It just happened to be a coincidence that – right around the same time, it was rumored that Jim might be heading out. I was like, I need to check out this Bengals locker room, see if I can handle
see
this.
What's going on there, you know? Yeah, and you know, I will say, it was your first scandal created. Because then Bengals Twitter went bonkers for John Brown.
Well, the leg is obvious.
It is.
It's very strong. And I feel like that's the perfect opposite or opposing argument to Randy.
Yeah.
Because the leg isn't quite as strong there.
I'm going to have to address Randy haters, aren't I? Like, yeah. I don't – I've done this so many times on this podcast, and but there's just so much Bengals Twitter hate. And, Randy, I forgot to put this in the news. Got a two-year extension that came out on Tuesday. He got a two-year extension. Lots of details behind that. But, basically, I can't. I can't do it again. Anybody that's listening to this has heard this show before.
Already made their
I'm just
mind
not going to do it again. And that you're right. That's most important. They either care, believe in what I'm saying, or they think I'm an idiot. And that's fine. That's like the majority of. I feel like there's no middle ground.
Well, John Brown's father is named Cleveland Brown.
That alone.
So.
That alone. And how was Cleveland Brown? Was he a sheer delight?
He really was. He was jovial. He laughed a lot. Yeah. He was very positive about John's opportunities that he's gotten.
So, all right. So, you know, since everybody's listening is going to want to know, I'm going to, like, give you one of these, like you got a million of in the interview process. Mm-hmm. What do you want to bring to the Bengals beat, Fletcher Page? You tell me.
Well, I do feel as if I am following in Jim's footsteps and that I do like to tell in-depth narrative feature, you know, storytelling.
Yeah.
Enterprise. I like to talk about things non-football related to try to explain football related motivations and such. So I feel like that'll be good for us. I'm really just going to do what you tell me to do for like the next 2 weeks.
And you know what? That's the best answer you could. That whole thing at the beginning about like in-depth enterprise and like, that's all funny. I like that. Do what you tell me. Maybe we'll try that.
I'm like Bill Lazor right now.
You're just tell me what you want done.
Well, it's week two.
Yeah.
I'm coming on board after things have already been established and are rolling.
You are.
And I'm just going to try to hang on and survive here for a couple weeks. We head out right on the road to Charlotte to Atlanta.
You get back to back. You get to basically go back home.
That's right.
Which is going to be nice. You go to Atlanta. Are you going to go back to Athens and hit like Cali and Tito's or something like that?
I think it'd be best if I just stay in the hotel in Atlanta.
Yeah.
If I go back to Athens.
You do have a job that you're trying to do now. It's best not to go and get into, you know, new Bengals beat writer.
Well, I would probably be wearing the same clothes when the sun comes up on Sunday morning. I just turned 31.
Oh, 31. See, the worst thing that you can ever have happen to you in a news story is your name followed by comma 31 comma.
Hey, right.
That means that's not a nice way of saying how old you are. That is this dude just got arrested way of saying who you are. So we in Athens don't want to see Page comma 31 comma. Nobody wants to see that. So that shows good decision making on your part, knowing your limitations.
Yeah, moderation will be key for me in Atlanta. I've purposely not told some people that I used to hang out with in Atlanta and Athens that I'm coming back home because I really just want to focus on the work.
It's been said that moderation hasn't always been my strong suit, but I'm definitely can be a North Star for you and show what true discipline looks like. Report back in a couple weeks and see if that's actually what happened on these road trips, because Charlotte and Atlanta are great cities, as you know very well.
Yeah, Charlotte's on the come up.
It really is. I'm excited about this trip this weekend. We have a really good mutual friend who
know each other.
Yeah, David Hale, who writes for ESPN now and covers mostly ACC, doing a lot of college football stuff. Occasionally they let him put his bearded mug on television, but for the most part he's writing for the .com. Great guy. That goes all the way back to Georgia days. But so hanging out with David Hale, also problematic.
Not good for
your
health.
That's why I'm going in Friday to do it before you get there, because I want to get that out of the way because I feel like the trio becomes an issue. As anybody that has like three really good friends that live in different places, you know that when just two people are together, everything tends to be. Responsibilities are taken into consideration. It's easy to talk people through. But when the bad decisions can go two against one, then that's when it really is problematic.
Yeah, three's trouble.
Good thing to know for friend groups. All right. Glad we've established that. Let's actually get back to some football real quick. So let's talk Carolina. They're an interesting team. Here's a observation from the first 2 days of practice this week. Marvin Lewis spending all the time that we saw out there hanging out with the linebackers, which you know, for those that don't have the joys of watching the first 30 minutes of practice like we do every week, is not – Marvin normally just kind of hangs out in the middle and watches everything or just pops around. You certainly don't see him consistently at the same – and, like, in the drill, hands on, knees, throw – you know, that's not something you see a ton of from him. Both days he's been there. And you know why? And it's you can read it on Cincinnati.com right now. I'm writing about – I mean, they are going to decide this game. The linebacker play, how they this the Carolina offense is based on stressing the linebackers. Christian McCaffrey, Cam Newton are the triple option design throws. Christian McCaffrey in coverage on a linebacker. That's what their whole offense is based on. They don't have much at receiver, and so it's going to be a matter of how these linebackers can handle all of that different stuff that's going to be thrown at them.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that Cam Newton, it's they're not even trying to pass downfield. I don't think he's completed a pass. What,
no.
20
plus
yards downfield?
He is not. No.
But it's only they've only attempted half a dozen. I know it's a small sample size with two games and
yeah.
circumstances affect that. But you're right. Everything's underneath and around 10 yards in the passing game.
It's college gimmicky type of stuff. Now, it's not so much of a gimmick when it's McCaffrey, who's maybe the most impossible running back to cover out of the backfield, and Cam Newton, who's the most impossible quarterback to tackle in the league. It becomes pretty potent. And there's and you see some of this in the league. But very few teams we talked to Ron Rivera, the Carolina coach, on the teleconference, and he said, look, last year we kind of had an understanding of what Christian McCaffrey is, but now after a year, we really understand how to use him to best benefit us and just really hose other teams. And you've seen that. I mean, he's got 20 receptions and 18 carries. They are just throwing it to him all the time. They're lining him up all over the place. They're arc motion, jetting across. He dumps off. He runs angle routes, always making sure he's lined up on a linebacker because he is. He's a slot receiver in a running back's body. And that's just a disaster. But this team, over the last 2 years, has dedicated itself to getting younger and faster at the linebacker position. And Preston Brown is, I'm going to guess he's going to be questionable again. He'll probably play. Hardy Nickerson is in his second year. Nick Vigil's in his third year. Jordan Evans is in his second year. Malik Jefferson, who was up last week, is in his first year. These are all super young dudes who seem to be emerging, but they're never going to be tested like they will be on Sunday.
You've got have you already teased your linebacker story that's coming?
It's coming out.
It's coming up soon.
All this information will be in. Probably it's going to be a race to see what posts first, this or the linebackers thing. So trust me, if you're listening to this, you can probably go read all about it right now. It's up there. So,
well, it's nice to see the Panthers use creativity and imagination with McCaffrey, you know?
Yes.
Because sometimes you get these guys and you think all these things are going to happen, and it never does.
There's no way you could draft him at 8 overall and not reconstruct the offense around him. You had to. And I think they realize that, and that's the way the whole league is going. I mean, the league is – Joe Mixon is one of those guys, too, more on the running side of things and the receiver side of things, but guys that absolutely can do both and are designed to take advantage of linebackers that aren't that good.
Well, speaking of linebackers, how's that for a second?
Hey, you're doing it.
Yeah, the Panthers.
Oh, they got one.
They've got the linebacker.
The dude from St. X. I went when I was covering the Super Bowl in 15, I was basically just writing about, because for here, I was just looking for local storylines. Yeah. And basically wrote like three different Luke Kuechly stories that week. And so I was really hoping that the Panthers were going to win that Super Bowl, and then Cam decided he had no interest in recovering a fumble and like just let Vaughn home. But anyway, the Luke Kuechly wins the Super Bowl story was going to look really good on the cover of the Cincinnati Inquirer. Unfortunately, the Luke Kuechly plays good in the Super Bowl story was what was on the cover of the Cincinnati Inquirer. Not quite as like powerful or impactful, but I hadn't gotten a lot of chances to see. I mean, they played here in 2014. I saw him in the Super Bowl, and you watch tape when you see guys around the league, but I just can never take my eyes off him when I watch Carolina play. It's incredible how much quicker and faster and clearly more instinctive he is than everybody else on the field.
Right. I was going to say he is quicker and faster, but that comes from his brain.
Yeah.
He just seems like he's got anticipation and instincts that it's indescribable.
Yeah. I'm always I was watching because Carolina played Atlanta this week, so I'm kind of like going through that video, and I just every single play, he's there before the ball even gets there, yeah, half the time. And that's why, you know, he's, you know, Marvin essentially called him the best linebacker in football. Yeah. I mean, and Ron Rivera would say the same thing. Obviously, he said he has the quickest first step he's ever seen, and he's been around Mike Singletary and Brian Urlacher and all these guys, and you know, he's a special player. Where you got to expose them is at the corner position, and the Bengals are set up to do that. I mean, to me, this game comes down to on the offensive side of things. Look, the same thing. Most of these games are going to come down to can they stop this pass rush, because the offensive line, the Bengals' weak point, the last 2 years, 97 sacks by the Panthers the last 2 years, and they have those dudes up front. You know, we were talking about Short or Addison. You know, they have Julius Peppers back now. I mean, they've got so many guys that can get after it and ruin your day. And the Bengals have Bobby Hart and Alex Redmond, who, God bless them, have done their best and seem to have actually been playing fairly well from considering where the bar was. But this Panthers pass rush can ruin your day and not even give you a chance to expose the weaknesses that they have at the corner and in the DB's room.
How much time have you dedicated on this podcast to that right side of the line?
Oh, my God. You've been listening, haven't you?
I have been, yes. I already knew the answer to the question.
Why. Cordy Glenn has been so good.
Right.
And he has been as advertised. And, you know, but it's when you are game planning this team, it's just so easy to see what you do. It's you just come in off that right side. And they've
right.
Bill Lazor, to his credit, getting the ball out quick, chips, all that type of stuff. But, I mean, you know, you're without a lot of your running game. So it's going to be a lot of quick passing and the need for those guys to hold up. Yeah, you know what you've got in Clint Bowling and Cordy Glenn. So you don't feel exposed over there.
Right.
But you always feel exposed, and you're just waiting to see. Because that's what's killed them the last few years. People that listen to this are like, can you stop talking about the same three things? But it's the most important three things. They're the ones that matter. All right, prediction time. And then we're going to bring you some of Giovanni Bernard, who we were lucky enough to have on Beyond the Stripes, also known as BTS. I'll try to use the full one for you until you know all of our acronyms. This week, great sitting down with him. He talks about Joe Mixon replacing him and a little bit of the youth in the room. And then we play a game of Rank'em where we have a really good time going through Gio ranking a number of different crazy things that I make him rank, because I'm just kind of – I just get kind of bored and I just want to do something different. So we learn about possible breach of contract from Gio and how he plans on his wedding being an absolute rager in Italy. So but we'll get to that. Prediction time. You're here now, so you have to have an opinion so it can be shouted out and old takes exposed on you. You got to give one. You've been studying.
I've been looking at
you're in
things.
The book. You're in the book.
I've been on the interwebs.
So what do you got?
Well, this is the third consecutive game for the Bengals being an underdog.
Correct.
But it's just 3 points on the road, so
they've been small underdogs as well, but right. They've been underdogs. 2-0 is dogs. They're being underestimated. So it gets tough.
So you're making me pick first?
You've got to pick first. Expose yourself. this is like hazing. I don't know if I can get in trouble or like fined for this, but you've got to pick first.
Well, I'm going to go with Carolina winning at home.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's going to be I don't know what low scoring is compared. I've been in the college ranks for a little bit, so I got to get dust up on my lingo here.
Yeah, when most games are 55, right. 48, yeah.
I can see a tough grinded out, like a 24-21 type style.
Yeah, I would think
but I'm picking Carolina.
You just went with the absolute most Vegas line. I think that over under is 44, so you got a little crazy there. So you're going for the push and right at the over. When in doubt, what does Vegas say? Look, Vegas has been brutally wrong about this
That's
team
true.
To this point. I don't think they will be. In my predictions before this season, I predicted the Bengals to win the first two and lose the next two. I thought these were two tough road games. I think teams that really get after the passer are problematic for these guys. It just exposes their one weakness. A lot of pressure on Bill Lazor to show he can figure out a way. I just don't. They surprised me on Thursday night with how they played, but they won a couple of games where they also didn't play super. And I think they're going to need to play better than they did the first 2 weeks, and I can't predict that to this point. So I have them losing similarly. I have 20-17 Panthers. I think they've got a lot of weapons that are going to give the Bengals trouble. So that's what I got. Wow. Bengals fans are like, come on, y'all. What do we got to – what do you got to do? This is not going to be a season where the Bengals start 8-0 and are 12-4. And this has got – I'll tell you what, though. If they win, it is total – there is no – I mean, it's like a 55-45 to me as far as whether they win or lose. I mean, it's right down the middle. They win, though, massive in the big picture because they really give themselves – some breathing room. You don't have Atlanta's going to be a tough one to go get.
Yeah.
And then you look down the road, Miami, a totally winnable game. The Steelers are then on the horizon, and they're in what they got going on right now. Lord knows. I just feel like the way the division has started slow, and if you can go, this is kind of one of those that you win one that maybe you weren't supposed to when you looked at it originally. It opens up a lot of possibilities where you start talking about 10 and 11 and maybe 12 wins.
I don't want to be held responsible for anything, though. I know that you start 2-0, I show up,
yeah,
and then...
Well, you will. It'll be your fault. So don't even worry about that. You will be blamed. You're going to be blamed for so many things that you don't even know about right now. That's just the way it goes. All right. I want to bring in the Beyond the Stripes with Giovanni Bernard right now. Welcome, Fletcher. It's just so damn nice to have you here.
It feels good.
I feel like I'm going to be a more calm guy on the podcast now. My energy and my intensity was a little much. I think it's been wearing on some folks. Maybe Kareem a lot. So I'm hoping that, like, now that you're here, things are a little more relaxed. We're in, like, a normal season mode. I feel like things are going to be good. I'm excited. Are you mad about anything? Or are you happy?
I'm not mad yet, but I will get mad.
Okay. That was – we always, you know – Jim's thing was always about he would be mad about something, and we would always conclude with what he was mad about. I felt I needed to go yin and yang, and so I would say what I was happy about. If you're a mostly happy guy, I got no problem being mad. But if you're a mostly mad guy, I got no problem being happy. I'm a chameleon of emotions.
I will say that once it was announced I was going to be here, I got a lot of tweets about Randy, lot of tweets about Gino.
Yeah.
And then I did get a couple people that asked me about Skyline or Gold Star.
Right,
but I don't want to make a decision there. I just like all chilies.
Nah, that's a completely unacceptable answer. And Skyline is miles better than Gold Star. Gold Star shouldn't even be a restaurant that exists.
I was offended by the question, like you're saying. So
I like all chilies. That's some weak middle of the road crap that is not going to be accepted on the BBP2, on the OG BBP, or on the walkout BBP, or any other P's that we have.
We'll see what else I can not take a stance on throughout the rest of this season.
There will be plenty of that. All right, let's bring in audio of Giovanni Bernard talking about his future role over the next few weeks and a lot about who he is. Anyway, so I hope you all enjoy it. Thanks to everybody for joining. And Fletcher, great to have you. We will talk to you on the walkout on Sunday night. Have a good one, everybody. All right, welcome into Beyond the Stripes here at the studios at 312 Elm Street. Paul Aner Jr., Lindsey Patterson here with our guest this week, Bengals running back Giovanni Bernard. Gio, how are we doing?
Doing well.
Let's jump right in. You're in the news this week. We sort of pre-booked this and didn't realize that you were just going to be here with us when you're a centerpiece of what's going on this week. Obviously, Joe goes down. No big secret. That means more for you. I want to share with you something that Bill Lazor said to us the other day. He called you a warrior, and he said he thinks because you do so many things well, you're underrated as a pure running back. How do you feel about when people say that, and do you feel like that you as a
pure running back gets overlooked because of your versatility.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, I play the position because I love having the ball in my hand and being able to do something. So whether I get the ball through, you know, a handoff from Andy or, you know, a throw through, from Andy, you know, it really doesn't matter. But obviously I love, you know, a handoff and just being able to make moves and do that kind of sort of thing. But, you know, that's what I grew up doing. You know, I grew up, you know, getting the ball handed to me or tossed to me and just making a play. So it is sometimes a little bit annoying where everybody's like, oh my gosh, it's your turn. And it's like, I prepare for this. Like, this is what I'm, you know, this is what I do. This is my job. You know, it's no different than how I prepared last week. So it's just go in there, make plays, and have fun.
Mm-hmm. You're one of the OGs in the locker room. How does it feel to be the old guy?
I know. It's honestly really weird just because I remember, like, it seems like yesterday that I was, like, the youngest on the entire team. So it is crazy now that, you know, people look at me, you know, as one of the older guys in the room. Or the oldest guy now in the running back room. So, I mean, I guess it's cool. I don't know.
It's got to be odd, though, to watch a room transform around you, because that's what's happened since you've gotten here.
Yeah.
And that happens in this league, but to these last 2 years in particular for guys like you and guys like CJ, who are still young, but yet now almost the whole team is younger around you. It creates a different vibe.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's not only just in the running back room. Like you said, it's just around the entire team. You know, we are a younger team than what we're accustomed to around here. But I think the biggest thing is, you know, we need those veterans to step up every game to be able to, you know, to carry the younger guys and just make them focus a little bit more on whatever it is. But, you know, it's fun. You know, we're enjoying it. We're having a good – we started off really well, and we just got to carry it on.
You know what? I want to bring something up to you, and this is kind of piggybacking off what you mentioned earlier about I'm a running back. I like taking the ball. I don't know if you know these numbers, but in games when you've had 15 carries – at least 15 carries in your career, Bengals are 9-1-1.
Oh, sweet.
You've won, and I think there's a thought out there of, you know, like we mentioned earlier, that, oh, no, I don't. Let me give you your yards per carry in those games. 5.3, 6.2, 5.3, one game, 3.3 in New England. That game didn't go well for anybody. 4.7, 5.0. Do you feel like you have had success? Does it feel to you like you've had success building off games when you get a rhythm and you're able to get the ball a bunch handed off to you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you build a rhythm throughout the game, but, you know, I've always been in the backfield where we shared, and it's one of those things where, you know, whenever you get the opportunity, you try to make the most of it. And sometimes that's a good thing, and sometimes it's a bad thing. But, you know, for me, what I've really kind of prided myself on this, you know, my entire life is just really yards per carry. You can't determine, you know, how many, you know, yards you're going to get. You can't determine how many snaps you're going to get. But, you know, hopefully you can break a long run in one of those plays and jump your average up. And, you know, I've always been a big proponent on yards per carry. That's just like the statistic that I care about the most, really.
You've been in the same room as him, and I know he's out for a little while with an injury, but what are your impressions of Joe Mixon?
Yeah, I mean, you could tell, you know, when he came in last year, he was one of those guys that can be a difference maker. And he's been that this year, and he was that last year. So he's just one of those guys that he knows how to. He has the ability to make plays on himself, and he's just been really, really doing a great job thus far.
Let's take a quick break. We're going to come right back here on Beyond the Stripes and play a little fill in the blanks. We'll be right back with Giovanni Bernard. All right, welcome back to the studio here at 312 Elm Street. Paul Ener Jr. here with Giovanni Bernard, Bengals running back. And, you know, it's the hot seat, but we've had you on the seat. It's no longer can even be hot anymore. We've asked every question I think you can ask in the hot seat. So we're kind of shaking it up. We're going to play rank them. So I've got a bunch of topics here. I'm going to give you three answers, and you can rank them best, middle, and worst, depending on the question, and we'll see where we end. There is some football in here, but mostly not.
All right,
your next trip: China, Australia, Canada. 1, 2, 3. Which one?
China 1, Canada 2, and Australia 3.
Why Australia 3? I thought Australia, that's like an awesome destination.
No, yeah, it's cool, but I don't know. I really like Canada. I really been wanting to go visit, like, the like like Banffing up there, like mm-hmm. the Northwest Canada, I guess yeah. you can call. Snowboarding. I like snowboarding. Hopefully they're not coaches are watching this or anybody.
is that a contract violation?
Yeah, I don't know. and then China, I just want to go experience that culture. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Most underrated place in Canada, Vancouver is an incredible place. Yeah, who do you trust? Okay, assuming you're not using Uber or Lyft, who do you trust to pick you up from the airport amongst these three? CJ Uzama, AJ Green, Clark Harris.
Oh my gosh. All right, CJ1.
CJ1?
Depends what kind of day for AJ. Depends what kind of day.
What kind of day as far as if he's feeling like doing anything?
Yeah, some days he's just chilling, not doing anything. And then probably Clark 3.
Clark 3.
Clark will probably be with CJ.
Yes, yeah.
So maybe 1 and 2.
They kind of go together.
Yeah, they go together.
But Clark isn't driving. CJ's probably driving in that scenario. Okay, best racing event. Indy 500, NHRA Nationals, or the Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg?
All right, NHRA won. Indy, I really would put F, like Formula One, any Formula One race.
Okay.
Really won, but that's not on there. But, what was two? Indy, I don't know.
The Indy 500, an NHRA event, or like the Grand Prix.
Yeah. I would go NHRA event one.
Your Formula One is your number one.
Yeah, easy. That's not even on there, but that would definitely be number one. Way above. But NHRA,
How'd you get into Formula One?
I'm Ryan Hewitt was one of the guys that, you know, kind of brought me onto it.
Yeah.
It's just sweet.
It just seems like you don't see a lot of Formula One fans around here.
No,
but,
not at all.
But
not
you're
all.
Always tweeting about it, and
yeah,
like,
it's fun.
You're
I mean,
into
it's
it.
It's cool. I mean, you start to. I mean, obviously, you learn about different things, and you learn about the cars as well. It's pretty neat.
Would you ever be a Formula One
I
racer?
Wish.
Like after when you no longer, that would definitely be a breach of contract. But if you ever, would you ever get into a point where you would be like, you know what, I'm gonna give this a shot, even if it's like a training type of setup.
Dude, I would love to do that. That would be sweet. I'd probably have to lose a couple of pounds though.
All right. Well, Formula One, they love Beyond the Stripes, so I'm sure some owner of a Formula One car is watching the show, ready to hook you up here as soon as you decide you want to walk away from the NFL. Okay. Favorite words used to describe you as a player? Dynamic, versatile, reliable.
Reliable one, dynamic two, and versatile three.
Is that because you don't like the idea of being versatile, or you? That's just between those other two.
That's just between those other two.
Why
I would want to be versatile.
Well, right, no, but reliable one. Why is that so much better?
I mean, you just want to be a guy that makes a play when it's a crucial, when it needs to be done. You want to be a guy that does the right thing on and off the field, because a lot of times in the NFL, just in general, you have a lot of guys that are dynamic. You have a lot of guys that are versatile, but. There's a lot of times where guys aren't as reliable as they should be on and off the field. So,
Okay. So we have the Uni Geek people are just so hardcore on my feed. So I've got to give them one. Your favorite jersey, Color Rush, the alternate orange, black or white?
I like when we go all white with the orange socks. I don't know why. That's
all
just
white,
kinda,
with, not the Color Rush all
no,
white.
No, not the Color Rush all white.
The white with the orange socks.
Yeah, just the all white, orange socks. I don't know. I just like that. I don't know why.
So that's the top one.
Yeah,
which one would be bottom amongst those four?
Probably the black tops and white bottom. Yeah,
because it's just standard. It's your standard.
It's just,
your always
go-to.
What do you feel about the Color Rush? Do you like? They're very popular with fans.
Yeah, they're cool. I mean,
it's not bad. Not a ringing endorsement, but that's why there's all kinds to choose from.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're You're like a Netflix guy, we know that, and you'll be you're into a lot of different stuff. Stranger Things, Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones,
Breaking Bad, and then Stranger Things.
Yeah.
is Game of Thrones. Yeah, I mean, it's just a no brainer. Just 2019 is like you're just counting down. You're just sitting at home waiting for the calendar to get to 2019 so you can start Game of Thrones.
It was crazy when they said it was coming out in 2019. Everyone was like, "What?"
Yeah, I don't know if I'm prepared for that. Because they keep stringing you along. Yeah, they've only got so many things they can do. You know,
smart.
Okay, so you're getting married coming up. Most important at your wedding. Open bar, band, or not screwing up your vows?
PG version?
Whatever version you'd like to give. This is the internet, Gio. Like, we don't even have rules.
It's got to be open bar. You got to have open bar.
Got to have open bar.
Yeah, that's just...
If that wasn't your answer, I was going to get so mad. You have to think about your friends.
That's what it's about. The wedding is a party for everybody.
It is. Open bar. So not screwing up your vows or band. Or we'll just, instead of band, I'll say music because I don't know what you would want.
Yeah, we're not going to need music. Well, number one, you don't need music if you got open bar. So yeah. I go vow second.
Wait, whenever we're just drinking silence, you got to have music.
No, we'll make our own music. We'll figure it out.
What, like karaoke style or like bongos?
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
All right, I like that. Okay. Worst day on the in-season schedule, Monday, Wednesday, Saturday.
Worst day.
Yeah.
Probably Saturday. I just want the game to get there.
Right.
Yeah. I'm just like, I just need the game.
Yeah. It's Monday. I mean, I feel like Monday. Now, obviously, it depends if you win or lose, but also like just the general pain that you're still kind of feeling. Or do you still feel like you're just?
You definitely feel pain, but I'm more. I get like antsy as the week goes on.
Yeah.
And that feeling, a day before a game is just so like. Mm-hmm. It's not. I guess I take that back. It's not the worst feeling. It's more like I just want to go hit somebody kind of feeling, you know?
Yeah.
So I guess that's a good feeling then.
The anxiety is stronger than the pain is, I'm with you. For me, the worst games that you guys have on the schedule are the night games because sitting around all day in the hotel is just
It depends brutal. If it's an away night game or a home night game. Home night games are great because you can just chill at your house and relax, but away night games, you're literally at the hotel.
You're just stuck there. Yeah. And then you get in at like 4 in the morning or something like that, which is terrible.
No bueno.
Okay. When were you most nervous during the proposal process? Buying the ring right before you were going to do it or during the proposal?
Right before I got on a knee. Yeah.
Yeah.
I took my own picture. I'm into photography, so I had my camera set up, and I was making sure it was right. I probably took, like, way more pictures than I needed to, making sure the frame was right. And then, you know, we were, you know, standing next to each other, like a pose that we always do, and then I was just kind of sweating and, you know, got on my knee, yeah.
But once you actually started, like, doing it, you're like, okay, we're good.
Yeah, it was easy. Yeah, yeah.
And buying the ring, you didn't have a
problem. No, it was good.
Easy. But I was lucky. I didn't even have to buy it. We had grandma's ring, which is like a total, because you get points for that.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, look.
You're good.
I'm saving that cash. All right, Mr. Old Spice brand names. Swagger, Ambassador, or Wolfthorn. Rank them.
Wolfthorn, Ambassador, Swagger. Swagger's just like lame. I don't know. It's like old.
Have you smelled those three?
Oh.
Like, are you?
I've smelled Swagger.
Yeah.
But Wolfthorn. I don't know. I would need them like up here.
The name makes me nervous. Yeah. Like, the name makes me think that they got a little experimental with the smell.
100%.
Yeah. And that's probably why you like it. All right. Favorite. Ocean, mountains, or city?
Ocean. I'm from Miami or Fort Lauderdale, so I like the ocean. What was the next one?
Mountains, city.
City and then mountains.
City and mountains.
Yeah.
Most despised, last one. Most despised. Duke, Steelers, the Wednesday media gaggle.
Oh gosh, that's hilarious. It depends what week it is, number one, for the Wednesday.
How about this Wednesday?
Okay,
which is gonna be terrible.
That's gonna be top. and then I would go, Pittsburgh and Duke is probably the same for me.
It's all the same. All right, Gio, thank you so much for playing Rank'em. That we learned a lot. We learned that hopefully we did not divulge any breaches of contract. That'll be an issue for you going forward. All right, we're gonna take a quick break here Beyond the Stripes, and we'll be right back with Player Password.